The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Paddy and Steve. You're all right, lads?
Yes, hi. Hello. Hello.
Yes, pretend they're there, okay? You can do impressions of Steve yeah. and Patrick as well. Okay. Pat's always banging on about Thursday's good for me. Thursday? Thursday? Mm. So we're doing it on a Thursday. No, it's not. It's a Friday, isn't it? Sorry. Yeah. I thought it was a Thursday. but you'd be glad to know, Peter, this weekend podcast is a heatwave special. That means I've set 25 minutes on my timer, okay? Because essentially, I am in a sweat box. I'm sitting here naked as the day I was born.
Yeah, thank God you haven't got your camera on.
Yeah. Well, no, I've got some shorts on. Apart from shorts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I am in my birthday suit. Isn't it funny that people don't come out in their birthday suit every birthday?
Yeah, I think it's good.
Just
coming
down. Happy 40th. Yay! Oh, yeah. Put it away.
I like the fact you're in your birthday suit except for the shorts. Aren't we all in our birthday suit except for the clothes we're wearing?
Yeah. Well, apart from shorts. Yeah. You work from home, right? I mean, let's be honest. How dressed down do you get when you work from home sometimes?
Yeah, no, sometimes it's
just shorts.
Hot days. Yeah, and it's all got a client call, better put a shirt on.
Yeah. I do that sometimes with Paul Hill every other weekend because my office is freezing in the winter. It's a one skin sort of Gary's convertible thing. And so literally, I will put a shirt on and I'll have shorts and Crocs on below.
Which is,
if you saw me in the City of London, you would think that guy doesn't really fit in. But there we are.
The other thing I do is ironing for Zoom. So just iron the front of the shirt. That's fine.
Ironing, yeah. You should start up a YouTube channel called Ironing for Zoom. This is all you need. Tie, maybe just one the front there, and just the front two panels of the shirt.
Exactly.
In fact, if you zoom in enough, you don't even need to iron the arms because they can be wrinkled out of shot. Don't do the arms. That's a waste of time. Just zoom in a bit. That's all you need. Yeah. Or even if you zoom in a lot, all you need is a collar. Just do the collar. That's fine. Pete, why are you so close to the camera? No, I like to be intimate, you know, because I think we lose eye contact with these Zoom meetings. I like to be right up close. Yeah, that's what I like to do.
Yeah. I like the fact you think I wear a tie.
No tie. Anyway, markets this week. Do you know, it's been a bit of a change. I don't know if you noticed it. I don't know if you're looking at your portfolio, but by the way, and the cocoon. The one I'm looking for. The catalyst, not the cocoon. Cocoon.
Cocoon.
Yeah, the catalyst for the change. I don't know if you saw this. In the week there, the Americans' sort of inflation figures came out, and they're predicted to be, I think, at 9.1, and they came in at 8.7. So everyone was like, "Hey, that's it, rally time!" Yeah. Yeah. But what were the? Was it 8.2? No, 8.7. They were predicted at 8.7 was the forecast. They came in at 8.5 year-on-year inflation figures. So the market started rallying like crazy.
Hang on.
And even NASDAQ, the Russell, which is the... All right, Russell. He's the small cap index in America, Russell is. Even that rallied. Now they're 20% off their lows, which essentially is a technical bull market.
Insane.
I know. The American markets, there's a lot of algorithmic traders in America. You know, well, you can't say traders, trading system platforms. They just follow trend and momentum, you know, so they rally like crazy, just pile. When they see something change, they go one way or the other. So it exacerbates sell-offs and it exacerbates sort of buy-ins as well. So when you think about it, hang on, guys, we're not out of the woods yet. We haven't just gone into the woods, really. And maybe you're halfway through the woods, you know. If you're in the woods with a little torch and it's very dark, maybe we're just beyond halfway through the woods. That's where we are. But the markets are the markets are rallying like we're out of the woods. It's not because 8.5% inflation is still pretty high, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really high. Yeah. And talk of, certainly in the UK, you know, recession could be quite a deep one and quite a long one.
Who doesn't like deep and long? Yeah. If you're going to have a recession, it's got to be deep and long, baby.
Yeah, are you a big fan of that?
Yeah, oh, I've gone through many recessions in the past, and what I like is the deep and long ones. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. You don't like the short, quick ones.
No, no point in that, is it? Where's the quality there? Where's the testing of the investor psychology? So if you have a big bank, can you hear the fan in the background? A fan on, literally. Even with the fan on, you can hear that. Okay, let me just move the mic maybe. Even with the fan on.
Closer to the fan?
Yeah, when I say fan, I mean wind, not a guy just clapping me, just standing behind me. Well done, Justin. That's very good, very good. Imagine just having a fan with you all the time just to boost your ego. That's very good. I like what you did there. That's very good indeed.
How's your OnlyFans account going?
Yeah, well, do you know what? Do you see that? Sorry, diverge away from investing.
Sorry.
Sort of earning money a bit. But Paddy's looking for a second revenue stream. Yeah. And I have to admit, I did see on Twitter a very attractive lady saying she earns a second income. She does a very reasonable job, a respectable job.
Right.
I'm not saying OnlyFans isn't respectable, but she's very pretty. And so I earn a second income on OnlyFans. So I clicked on it. And there's her story, and the BBC have to be sort of the balance, I suppose. So scroll down, and there's a story about Brent, I think his name was.
Right.
Very ordinary-looking fella. You know, wasn't ripped, wasn't attractive, unshaven, didn't really take pride in his appearance too much. And he said, yeah, I get a second income from OnlyFans. I thought, what do you do? And I didn't look into it, actually search him up or anything, but I thought, it's got to be some twisted sort of
and
niche.
Now you're a big fan of him.
Yeah, I'm a paid subscriber, fully paid up for the year. He gives a 10% discount if you pay in advance for the year.
And you still don't know how he does it.
No, but there must be some deviant niche he's into there, because I can't see, you know, it's quite superficial, I understand, but I can't see the attractiveness in Brett. And I said, Pad, if he's doing well, surely Pad is a good-looking fella, Pad, isn't he? Yeah. Anyway.
Punky.
Yeah. So, recession-wise, look at the figures here, right? Well, you said a while back, are we in recession? Now, what you have to understand is recession data lags by a couple of months, and it's also, for like quarter on quarter, a recession is two quarters of contracted growth.
Yeah.
Turns out we've had one, okay? And if you look at it, markets look ahead, and GDP data looks behind. So, you know, markets start to rally a little bit, thinking, okay, that's why the markets in America rallied a bit too much, to be honest. But, I mean, they are seeing peak inflation, which is very good. And if you look at it, things are not going to go up anymore now because, in fact, even purchasing price index came down. That means raw materials like this come down as well. So it shows that commodity prices, everything that's feeding into this inflation is coming down. So peak inflation is good. But if you look at GDP data for the UK, there's out today on Friday. So month on month, so this means June down 0.6%. It was forecast to be down 0.12%. So if you look at that and think, if June was down that, so for the entire quarter it was down just 0.1%. So for June alone, they're 0.6%. So if you think of that, if you think generally, do you think the economy as for the next quarter, do you think July and August are going to grow? I don't think they are, because the problems that we have right now are still going to be, you know, high energy costs, all that stuff is still here. So if you look at this now, so we got, say July will equal June, for example. That's 0.6%. And say August does a lot better, right? And there's minus 0.6%. Sorry. And August is minus 0.3%. So just twice as good as July. September, the average of those two, that's, you know, for the two there, that's 0.9% down. So to break even, or to even grow, it's going to have to be about 0.9% for September. That's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. So even looking at the mass perspective, we are in recession already, pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
But the markets are rallying.
Yeah.
Why is that, Peter?
Because it always does the opposite to what you expect.
Yeah, well, I think they see it like as we. It's been priced. If you look at the markets, they've priced in, hasn't it? Sort of recession. They've fallen by 30-odd% anyway, and that's a big. And if you look at that, that's the index. So the AMOL share index is down by 34%.
Yeah.
So that's even including the winners. You know, some stocks like oil and gas stocks that are producing have done quite well, or any commodity plays have done quite well because of high commodity prices. That's pricing all the goodies and all the baddies, and it still goes down by 34%. Now, some of my stocks, I know my portfolio is probably down year on year by 50% probably, you know? So,
And some of that sell-off on some of those stocks is just is unfounded, really. It's not because they're not really directly connected to any.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's connected to energy in some way, but you know, they're not massively impacted by that. But all boats rise and fall on the tide, don't they?
Yeah, so and also, what you get is when you get a sell-off, it's exacerbated, like you say, not by sort of algorithmic traders. There's not too much of that on the AIM sort of on smaller microcaps. But what you get is market makers, for example, you know, will exaggerate. They don't want to hold stock. In a downturn, they don't want to hold stock. So market makers will mark stuff down. They will shift stuff out as quick as they can. It'll be high turnover, you know, big margins as fast as they can, because they don't want to hold it. Because, of course, they don't want to open up on Monday holding stock that's going to go down again 10% or whatever. So they'll just really, you know, move the prices down. And then you get funds, for example, microcap funds, will have to sell some stock as well, because you've got private investors invested in those investment funds, you know, that across, you know, lots of stocks, you know, selling their, say, oh, I'm worried about recession, I'm going to sell my stocks now. And you find most private investors sell at the bottom anyway, or close to, so they'll be saying, I'm going to sell my fund because there's a recession happening, not knowing that, do you know what, when you've got the signals recession's happening, that's it, the sell-off has already happened. So you get selling at the bottom, pretty much. So funds will have to redeem some of that money by selling stocks. So it's, you know, selling begets selling across the board there. But I do think, I've said this before, the big fall has happened. I think we may fall a little bit more, but not a lot. And it's all coming down. I mean, you know, everyone's tightened their... Have you tightened your belt, Pete, in any way whatsoever?
Well, yeah, I've lost a bit of weight, so I have. But
eating less.
Well, actually, I was going to say that I mean, it's a sample population of one here, but
you're not typical, I suppose. You know, if you had a family and kids,
right,
you'd probably feel it a lot more, wouldn't you?
Yeah. What I've noticed recently is I'm spending more than ever.
I like the way you're trying to prop up the economy. Saying, what's wrong with you guys? Spend more during a recession.
Yeah.
I started eating out every single night.
What the hell is that? We've got Dalek joined in.
Dalek Steve's here. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
What, Steve, where are you?
Where am I? I'm on the M25.
Cool, nice. Man.
Good,
yeah.
Man.
Steve's like in his Lambo racing Ferraris on the M25, see? He doesn't care. Chuck the juice in my car. Fill it up. I'll just race around the M25.
Mode. In sport mode, going 5 miles an hour.
Is that right. Where you, which junction are you at, Steve?
I'm by the, I don't know, I'm not sure where I am, to be honest.
Are you going clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Good question.
I'm doing anti-clockwise. My next junction is Watford.
Oh, okay. So you are, I'd say, hang on, you're around about
18?
Is it? 18, no, 17?
Oh, yes, I'm 18. Very well, very good, Pete. I am just passing junction 18.
Well, yes.
Steve, are you coming back from an event or going to an event?
I've just finished an event and going to another one.
Wow.
Look at Steve. No recession here, fella.
No.
Back to back. So what events are these, Steve? Can you say or what?
I was doing a furniture company filming today.
And rock and roll, man.
Woo-hoo.
And actually, I'm not working tomorrow. I'm doing one on Sunday. I'm doing Ashley Banjo's wedding.
Ashley Banjo, excellent.
You can see Steve at the back there. Yeah, well, do you know, I did a furniture event yesterday, a couple of days ago, and I did Ashley Banjo's wedding. Yeah,
wedding.
Yeah, he doesn't actually know I'm coming there. So.
Well, why would he? You're the guy doing the sound. He's like, I can't imagine Ashley Banjo saying, "You will never guess what I've got doing the video and the sound there." Steve, hang on. What are you doing at this wedding? Filming it.
Yeah, well, I'm actually filming for the production company, so I'm filming like the setup and stuff like that. So I'm not actually filming his wedding. I'm going to film him like coming down the stairs and stuff down to the thing. But yeah, so I'm just filming.
I assume Ashley Banjo coming down the stairs would be quite good, though, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd have to do a little dance or something, Freddie Stairs.
Dancing, yeah.
I just spoke to him, yeah.
So are you, is that for Dave's company?
It is, yes.
Oh, Dave's doing well, isn't he? So that's good.
Yeah.
So how did he get that gig? Ashley Banjo is quite a good gig to get, isn't it? That's going to be on the CV, surely. I've seen Dave's stuff on Instagram, but that's going to be up there, isn't it?
Well, this is why he's hired me to come and film it, because it's probably quite a high-profile one for him to be doing, so hence why I'm doing it.
Yeah, I do like Ashley Banjo. I like the guy. Do you know what? I genuinely was when Diversity first came on the scene, I was quite emotional when they won. I thought, there's so many of them getting together on a regular basis to, you know, to train, to practice, to be that good, to be that, you know, synchronized. They must have put a lot of hours in that, because that was brilliant. And I thought, you know,
do you reckon they'll do something at the reception together?
You've got to, that would be the best wedding dance ever, surely. Yeah. Surely. Yes, of course they will.
The pressure for the first dance is going to be on, isn't it?
They got no pressure. They're the best dancers in the world. What pressure have they got? They're just chucking all routine together. But I mean, that's... if they didn't, that would be the biggest anticlimax in the world. If they just did a really boring, slow start to it and joining everyone, you know. Yeah, they'd have to, surely. That's good, that. Steve, yeah. And that would be across all the social media, surely. I mean, the thing is, he wants it filmed, doesn't he? Steve?
He has actually got his own videographers there, which apparently they said if there's anything good that I can share stuff with them, but I'm kind of filming it slightly differently to what a videographer. I'm filming the production of it rather than him. If that makes sense.
Yeah, but
BTS.
BTS.
Behind the scenes.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm thinking though, if you're in his line of work, you know, you're missing a trick if you don't film your wedding, because that's part of you. If you're promoting yourself, that's his line of work. Promotion, is it really? So anyway. Oh, okay, that's good. That's good, Steve. So, anything else, Steve?
Good. That's it.
Nope.
So, Steve, are you saying you're spending a lot at the moment?
I was spending a lot, but again, on business equipment, so camera stuff. But I have kind of stopped at the moment because, I'm just kind of burrowing away a little bit of money just to keep me propped up for whatever might happen. But, so I'm not spending as much as probably I used to now, so I probably have cut back.
It's just me then. Okay, fine.
Well, do you know what, to be honest, in our house it's Megan's doing all the spending, but she doesn't even stop. I keep saying it's a recession, just trying to encourage her in some way to stop spending. But the thing is, right, in a recession, and I did this on the weekly webinar, I said, make no bones about it, if you've, you know, mistimed the market, and many people do, it's very easy to mistime the market because everyone's shouting about stocks and shares when at all-time highs, you know? So everyone gets involved, fear of missing out, towards the top of the market. And that's why you see silly assets like NFTs going for ridiculous amounts of money, because you are on the froth. Imagine a pint, analogy of a pint. The froth is at the top. So sooner or later, that froth dissipates and the pint gets drunk, and then we go to bear market. But bear markets are a buyer's market. If you are an investor with 3 to 5 years, time horizons, right now, bear markets, if you've got spare cash, are the time to start buying. And I don't mean just lumping in one big chunk or overexposing in some way. I mean, in an orderly buy, like monthly on a fund or something, or if you've done a lot of research on a company and you're convinced that the reason why your company's sold off is not because, specific to the company, it's general market sell-off, then this is a buyer's market. You cannot fail to make money over the next 3 to 5 years by now. What?
The funds are doing all right at the moment, though. They've kind of rebounded a bit.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Do you know why? Because they're largely exposed to big cap in America. And like I was saying, Steve, I don't know when you joined, but I try and do a monthly podcast with Fred and Monty, and they have 5 stocks each in big American companies. And fair play, I try about 20 quid each into a couple of stocks every month there, and they've rebounded very quickly, American markets. But it does trickle down, and like I said, it does need a lot of liquidity to get the AIM market moving, but it takes a while, that's all. But at the moment, do you know what we are, what's annoying, I'm going to mention the favourite stock of the moment, because we are in an energy inflation driven recession, and I don't think people understand that. The inflation is largely down to energy. That's all it is. The biggest rising cost for any company right now is energy. Understand that. Energy. You know? Domestic energy is capped, which is laughable because the cap seems to go up and up and up. How can you cap? How is it a cap? I don't understand. It doesn't make it. It's not capped, is it?
It's the wrong description, isn't it?
Yeah. If it is a cap, it's like one of those sun visors with no top on it. You know? So literally, you can pull the sun visor down over your face and your head pokes at the top, because there's no cap on the price. But I mean, they say there is. But for business users, I didn't know this, there's no cap whatsoever. And so, if you are energy heavy, you know, you are energy intensive as a business, you are really ticking it in the neck, and you know, it's hitting you massively. I don't know if you saw the Times this week said businesses could get a fivefold increase in their energy. So we think the domestic market is bad, so double. They are seeing five times their energy cost rises. And I saw the sad story on Twitter, actually, as a lady saying about she works for a local Chinese, quite a popular Chinese, and it's a small business, you know, so a local Chinese takeaway in Aberdeen, and she said, our bill has gone up by 10 times. They're now paying £10,000, over £10,000, or 9 times, actually. Maths is wrong, but they paid, I think, it was something like £1,000, just over £1,000, and now it's £10,000. And she said, as a result, this Saturday is our last Saturday. We're shutting down. And I thought, that's really sad, isn't it? Businesses are shutting down because of energy. So, this recession is driven by energy. And just as I said, if you can name a company that's dealing with that problem, that's a winner.
Yep. Have you got any suggestions?
No, I can't think of any, really.
Okay, right, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
On a different subject, e-energy is annoying because there's a seller in there, and I've been tracking the sales every day, right?
Right.
And it's also, I mean, they're trying to, I think it's what's called an orderly market exit on a sell. Now, I don't know who it is. I think it may be one of the acquisitions who've been paid in shares. But you see every day, pretty much, 250,000 shares after Bell, or close to the end of Bell, being sold on ENG. So all day it holds the price down. And I think, if it's who I think it is, there's 4 million shares there, and we're close to 4 million being sold now. Once that clears, it will rally like crazy. And I've been tracking these shares now for a while. It's hard to pinpoint who it is, actually. But if it is who I think it is, with their last acquisition, then we're close to that 4 million shares issued being run out. And if it does happen, it'll rally. And that's the thing, sometimes people see a share price not rallying on a company that should rally. I mean, E-Energy should be rallying like crazy, really should. You know, they've had record Q3, record Q4. Their order book is as big as their market cap. You know, they are in a very hot space, but it's not rallying. I mean, all that's holding it down is the sell order in the market every day for a certain volume of stock. And the more the volume goes up in buys, the more that gets sold in the market. So essentially, you know, I don't know what the analogy is like this for, but if you're trying to get your head above water, there's someone there with a foot above you, you know, on the side of the pool there, pushing you back down, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that guy's going to leave the pool, and you just jump out of the water, and it'll just go nuts. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but I've seen it happen before, but it will go nuts sooner or later. It's just frustrating that there's a constant drip of sales in the market there, you know? Do you see, talk about other stocks, Gfinity has rallied a little bit. Have you seen that?
Yeah. And also Plarium on Friday. I know.
Plarium's done really well, yeah.
I'm hoping that's because, you know, word on the street is we're approaching FDA approval. Come on.
Yeah, Plarium. Yeah, I'm a little bit underweight on Plarium because you know, my strategy is if you learn a lesson, take it on board, adjust your, you know, strategy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm more confident now that FDA approval will happen. Because, of course, they ticked all the boxes, pretty much, you know, the guys there.
Yeah.
So I don't see where they can go wrong here. But, it's done over 50% in the last, couple of weeks, which is very good.
Yeah.
But even Biome, for example, Biome's last trading update was a very telling thing. It's quietly creeping up. And if you look at it, for many quarters, they've been saying 2021 is our big year. And then that got knocked by a year because, of course, the well-publicised supply chain problems. Like I said, they were shipping. Their two biggest customers, which they've just been onboarding for like the last year, because they create these, biodegradable plastics for these mesh companies that have products in the market like coffee pods and all that.
Yeah.
And they've been testing them for years. Right now, commercialization is going to happen. And that was knocked by year by supply chain issues because they said, normally we can ship to America within 3 weeks. Within 3 weeks, quite easily. It's taken over 3 months during the supply chain issues. And if you look now, supply costs, shipping costs have come down massively. Supply chains are easing. And they said now they're very confident Q2 will be gangbusters. How do they know this? Because they said basically, the growth is underpinned by supply chain preparation and stocking by several of the division's customers, which are planning to launch products in H1 of 2023. So essentially, it's taken a year for those customers to stock, you know, to build up the inventory to the point where they're confident they can launch a product and they won't have any supply problems. So if they, you know, if they sell out, they won't sell out, basically. They'll have enough stock. So they're confident of that now, and it'll kick up in this part of the year. And like I said, at the moment, what are the market cap biomes? It's literally way below their sales. So their market cap, is it about 6 million, I think? They're going to do over 8 million in revenue this year, and over close to 11 million next year on these commercial deals. And it's just been sold off, and it's very liquid. And, you know, a sell will take it down. A couple of hundred quid will take it down in a day. So, but I'm confident, if you look at the chart there, it's looking quite good. We've hit a bottom, I think. Yeah. So
market cap is 6.7 million now.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Time is up, Pete. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that covers everything.
Steve, you watched anything on TV? I tell you what I watched the other day, which is worth watching. It's about a Forex scandal, which is like all these guys on Instagram, you know, they're posing with their Maseratis and all this and Ferraris. Yeah. And I did this through Forex, you know, trading foreign exchange. Yeah, again, it's worth watching on BBC iPlayer. I don't know what it's called. Okay. But it's this Asian guy who starts out by giving money out on the streets, just giving people tens and 20 quids on his Instagram account. And he's got his Maserati patent parked in the background. Turns out he wasn't making any money at Forex. He was paid by this trading company to sort of onboard people. And you get paid £500 per person. So, and all these people lost loads. They're in a WhatsApp group and lost loads of money, all that stuff. It's worth watching that. Forex.
A couple of people have recommended a thing called the Dawn Wall on Netflix. I haven't watched it. It's a rock climbing thing about El Capitan, I think.
Is
it El Capitan? I think so. Anyway, there we go. There's a recommendation from other people, but I haven't watched it, so I'll report back.
BBC, Scamland, Money, Mayhem, and Maseratis. Check that out. I've been watching that on the treadmill this week. I've been sweating like a crazy man. I've been watching that. What else have I watched? I'm starting to watch something else. Who Stole Tamara Eccleston's
Millions. Diamonds and stuff.
Diamonds. It's worth watching that. Just watching the first bit of that. And literally, they were in Lapland for Christmas, and one of their houses got broken into. In fact, the security guy called them and said, your house has been broken into. He said, which one? Which, your main one, the one in London with 52 rooms, pretty much. She said, oh, right, okay. Turns out, she had loads of locks on the door, every door with a lock on, but in the main room, she had all these jewelry, diamonds, and they went in there, and it's like a jeweler's. You know, they display jewelers in the cabinets that. All the jewels, had so many, it was like that. And they nicked the lot, and it wasn't insured. So, millions, 20, 30 million worth of jewelry just nicked. So I've started watching that, it's very good. But, And Dawn's Curtain?
No, the Dawn Wall.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I actually watched Dawn's Curtain now.
Yeah, good. Yeah, on your own bit of private time, check out Dawn's Curtain.
Up at the crack of dawn.
Yeah. Mm. I was up at the crack of dawn, checking out Dawn's Curtain. Marvellous.
Right.
So that's it anyway. So I gotta go. I'm sweating like a pig in a boiler suit in a sauna.
Perfect. What a vision.
We got to mention this actually. We'll mention it more close to time. You know, this 10 Peaks challenge we're doing. Part of me is starting to regret it. I'll do it, but I mean, is it possible?
Possible. We'll do it.
We're going to walk 10 peaks in Snowdonia within a day.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it can be done, really.
No, I think it can be done. Me, you and Paddy, we'll do it. I don't know how Steve's got out of it, but yeah.
Okay. Are we going to set up a GoFundMe page to get people or some...
Giving page. Just Giving. I've set that up. We need to give it out to people and anybody who's, generous enough to... I know it's cost of living crisis and all that, but we're doing it for a very good cause.
What's the charity? What is the cause?
It's for a charity called Big Moose, and they are aiming to raise £1 million for...
Not just through us, surely.
No, not
just us. That's a bit of a pressure, lads. Bloody hell.
Yeah.
I'm going to raise 10 quid, but go on.
Yeah, raising £1 million for mental health therapy and support over a number of months, if not years. But we will contribute to that.
Yeah, and what's nice is we'll probably need some support on the mental health side after this event, because it'll probably break us.
So it's not a completely selfless challenge.
No, exactly.
I donated, boys, and if you don't, thanks, do it, I want my money.
Thanks, Steve. Well, I'll start publicising a bit closer, but I think we should do the podcast on the way there, or maybe on it, or maybe do a bit of video as well. And then you can look at the state of us. That's worrying me. It's about that's sub 30k in a day, is it? Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, 20 miles.
So it's like a marathon, close to a marathon on hills in a
day.
You've
got plenty of time. Get out and start training now and be fine.
Well, you got like just over a month.
Yeah, that's fine. That's plenty.
Even like, you know, title boxers have longer time, they 8 weeks. In fact, that is what they get. 8 weeks boxers, normally get 8 weeks. So that's fine.
Yep.
No, we can do it. We got 6 weeks. Okay. All right. So I'll start doing that. All right. Marvel stuff. Cheers. Thanks for joining, Steve. Have a nice time. Bye. Say hello to Ashley Banjo and the rest of the banjos there. You know, and
the Banjo family.
Yeah. It's a good name, Ashley Banjo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great
cool
name.
Cool. And speak to you next week.
Nice one. Bye-bye. Cheers, guys. Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.